Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall, did he catch it? He did!
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
That's coming up here, and yes, there is stiff competition, but we will hook somebody else up with
Shut up, Tyler.
What? There's a lot of competition. God, dog, man. I'm only glad I couldn't see his face. That's the only thing.
I was not expecting it. I just heard it in the background. Yeah. Oh, that was good, Tyler. That was really good.
Look at him, man.
When I can't see his face, when I forget who's on the other line.
There he is. Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot of competition, but you could still be a winner. And while you're sitting there, order you up a drink. Bailey will take care of you. The rest of the staff will take you some good wings, some good food as well. I think they got a deal on those boneless wings, Tyler's favorites. You can get hooked up there as well. All right, Clint, I want to play this audio for you and the people. Zach Bye, he was on In the Loop yesterday, and Zach has covered the Broncos for years and years. And I know Zach a little bit myself. I've had conversations with Zach. He's a guy that knows what he's talking about and does good, great work there at our sister station. In Denver. In fact, I don't even think they're our sister station. I believe I just made that up. So they're not our sister station, but he does a great job there in Denver. He talked about to me what I believe is got to be the number one thing keeping Nick Caley up, the number one thing keeping C.J. Stroud up, the number one concern for DeMeco. If we talk about DeMeco is giving more time and energy to the offensive side of the ball, well, this week this is what they have got to be game plan and the number one thing they're worried about. No, it's not Patrick Surtain being out. It is the front of the Denver Broncos. They lead the league in sacks by a mile and pressures, and it's been that way for the last 2 years. Here's Zach Bye's breakdown on what to me is the biggest thing that the Texans have to solve in this game.
Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator here, when he believes that he's got a matchup of strength, he will not send pressure. When you look at the Broncos up front, which is really the strength of the entire football team, as good as their secondary is and their safeties and some of their members on offense, the strength is the front seven. And when you have a guy like Zach Allen, keep that name in your back pocket. A big 99 in the middle. Led the NFL in quarterback hit a year ago. Led the NFL in quarterback pressures from the D-tackle position a year ago. Coming off a game where he sacked the quarterback again. It starts with him, the push in the middle. And then you have these two edge rushers in Jonathan Cooper and Nick Benito, who are just absolute freaks when it comes to get off. I think they're number one and number two in the NFL in terms of their pass rush win rate and their get off. Nick Benito, if you guys haven't had a chance to look at him, 8 sacks in 8 games, had 13 and a half sacks a year ago. He's fantastic. fantastic. He's going to be up for Defensive Player of the Year. These guys really get after the quarterback, and because they're both elite at their position, both double-digit sack guys a year ago, the number one duo in that department, you can't really send as much help when you're getting it from both sides of the defense and also getting that push from the middle.
All right, that is Zach Bye, who hosts Afternoons in Denver and covers the Broncos. And Clint, that to me is the biggest concern. Clint, they got what is this? 1, 2, 3, 4. They got 5 guys that have 4 sacks or more on this defense. And as he said, Nick Bedito from Oklahoma, Nick, he may be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. And what he does, and as he talked about his speed off the edge, his bend, that is to me a real concern for Arianti Urseri. We've seen him struggle at times with guys that are that size and that have that speed off the back end, and we always don't see him get enough help all the time. Hopefully that changes. And Cooper's really good off the edge, and Zach Allen. They just have a lot of different guys that can get after the quarterback, and that is still been one of the primary issues for the Texans. We saw what it looks like when you can protect C.J. Stroud, but we saw the previous week and other times in this season, like against Seattle, who I think the Broncos are similar at their front, but I think they're the Seahawks on steroids, that they've struggled in how the game has gone offensively for C.J. Stroud and Nick Cates.
Well, look, I think Denver is better personnel-wise. They got better players on the defensive side of the football, and they approach the game a little different stylistically, right? I mean, you look at Seattle, they're a little bit more base in their front four. We're going to play games with the tight end, the tackle, D-end stunts, the twist, the picks and pick and roll type stuff. Whereas when you look at what Denver's going to do, sure, everybody does some of that stuff, but Denver's going to they're going to cover all 5 offensive linemen so that the offensive linemen have to work one-on-one and bet that their guys are better than you. They've got a presence in the middle in Allen that is as good as you're going to find. And then you got the guys coming off the edge that are top tier in the league as well. There's nothing you can do about that interior play. Now you can hope they don't go 5 down, and when they don't go 5 down, you can double Allen. You can do some different things there, but there's really not a whole lot you can do. I would expect some major inside push in the pocket when you're throwing the football, and I think it's going to be very difficult to run the football in between the tackles. So if you're the Texans and being the game plan offense that they are, I would expect them to help the tackles. Hopefully the key here, hopefully Tytus Howard can handle
his
own
with Cooper.
Hopefully that is selfishly for me, like the matchup that I want to see is Tytus Howard one-on-one with no help on the end. And can he become a guy? Can this be a game where people look at Tytus Howard and go, damn, that dude right there has got a chance to be one of the best in the league? Or do you look up and go, ah, here we go. We got a guy that can play 5 positions, 4 positions, but he ain't a great tackle kind
and
of
we need help on both sides.
Right, right.
Because Ursary's going to need help.
You got
to
help. You got to help him. You got to run right at these guys on the outside. So, you know,
it sounds like you're more concerned about, like, Zach Allen on the inside.
Well, I'm not concerned about him because there's no answer. Like, you just tell your guys to hang on for dear life, do the best that you can, and then you've got to – like the beauty about, like, quarterback play and offensive coordinator is, like, if I know my middle of my offensive line is going to be stout, I'm not worried about speed off the edges. I don't care. Like, you got to be a bad tackle for that. If my quarterback can set deep and push up in the pocket, you got to be awful outside in order for that, right? But if this Allen kid can push my center and my guard into my lap and I don't have anywhere to push up into, now both of these guys off the edge become a major, major problem. Not because they're good, but because the middle gets pushed and I don't have anywhere to go. You got me trapped, right? So I can't do anything about the middle. I can't. There's nothing I can do about it, right? But what I can do is I can cause problems for these guys off the edge, right? That's what has to be the game plan. I would expect some outside zone stuff. I know there's PTSD out there after Bobby Slowick trying to force the issue, but I would expect some outside zone stuff. I would expect some of the outside G-scheme stuff, and I would expect in passing situations a lot of help for your tackles. Again, hopefully Tytus Howard can handle his own. That would be a beautiful thing to come out of this game and feel like we've got a tackle that we can put on either side, and he's one of the better tackles in the league. But you got to help Arianti Urseri in a big way, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Text line coming through with did you really just say Denver has a better defense? Our pass rushers over there is all day, not to mention our DBs.
No,
one ever said that.
No, they misunderstood. Again, I mean, I was talking about Seattle. I think Denver has better personnel than Seattle, not than the Texans' defense.
Now, I will step and say this. Yes, their pass rush, their total pass rush, is better than the Texans.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
They've had the most hits on quarterbacks. They've had the most sacks. And they have, I mean, right now the Texans, the Texans and the Broncos, when it comes to sacks, the Broncos are number one in the league, and that's by 11 sacks by the next closest team. Yes, the Texans edge rushers, and I think Will Anderson and Daniil are probably guys that are better than those two as a whole. But as a whole, when you put Allen in there and you put those two guys in there and what they do in just rushing the passer, they've been the best pass rush in football for the last 2 years. I mean, and yes, the Texans are really, really good too. But especially when you put that against the Texans' offensive line and the struggles they've had. Yes, I think the Texans' overall defense is the best in football right now. But we're talking about rushing the passer, and we're talking about getting pressure, and you combine that with, all right, hey Ed, and that switcheroo thing they're running with Juice and Lakin Tomlinson, like, yeah, that's going to be a problem. Hell, you've watched it. You've watched every one of these games. You've watched when the Texans have run against teams that rushed the passer. Well, the Broncos rushed the passer better than anybody else for the last 2 years. Will and Daniil Hunter, I would take over those two. But as a whole, like that Zach Allen dude on the inside, you haven't really run into that.
Yeah, he's a problem. You got a different dude in the middle right there that we just don't have that kind of presence.
Yeah,
and
fairly most teams don't have that
right.
And those two on the edges, right?
That's
just got to be what they have to solve coming up. All right, coming up as we continue, T Mills' best bet, as you know, he does his thing. He will get you to that money.